May 3rd, 2015.
16.
16. Well, you wrote 15 here.
Well, I know.
Okay. Oh, we're off to a good start.
Go figure.
Inside Out, that's who we are, the Naked Truth, coming to you live from the Santa Cruz Mountains of California, specifically from Lupin Lodge, where clothing is optional.
But the truth is always naked.
Don't you love it? I'm Errol Strider.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider. We welcome you to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight for some conversation about the human condition and what to make of it, sprinkled with laughter, good music, and a few surprises.
And our time together is sponsored by Go Raw, 100% raw food, tastes good, great for you, and Universe Spirit.
Awakening us to the impact of climate destabilization and how we can make a difference.
I can feel just the destabilization where I sit here, Rochelle, especially since we're on like a plate, you know, the plates of the...
Yeah, we got the...
Right, the plates that are like those plates. Boy, I hate to see it if those plates get mixed up with the climate destabilization.
False,
that's what they are. But it's not their fault that they're false.
No, it's not. They're doing just what they need to be doing, moving and creaking and groaning and erupting.
It's amazing, isn't it? Can you believe that Rochelle and I have been doing this show, Inside Out, The Naked Truth, for like 5 years? Go figure. So, we decided to make Go Figure our featured phrase for tonight's program. Here's a sampling of some possible Go Figures that we could, maybe should engage. One, a very weird species called human beings would show up on a tiny planet in a vast universe. Go figure. The most dangerous issue affecting our lives, that would be climate destabilization, gets almost no attention by prospective presidential candidates.
Go figure.
Donald and Hillary are the best we've come up with to lead our nation.
Go figure.
And last but not least, men and women would dare to think that they could actually understand, let alone change one another.
Go figure.
So, if you'd like to do a little figuring with us tonight, hang in there. Maybe we'll do some figuring out of some of the dilemmas that we face. And you may, in fact, find that the issues we discuss relate directly to you and your welfare. Go figure.
It's reached the point where I can't figure anything out. Every time I do, that go figure comes up and startles me with the realization that I can't. It's just incomprehensible. Life and all its peculiarities. So many people, relationships, all moving in so many different directions. It won't stop. Even when I stop my thinking for the briefest of moments, life keeps on trucking, and I feel as if I have to run to catch up with it. And I know better. Go figure.
Ain't that something? It just goes to show you that knowing better and then doing them, one lags behind the other.
It's amazing how imperfect we are in our perfection.
But the mind can just jump ahead there. I've shared this metaphor before, that the mind is like a scout on the wagon train, and he can just get on his horse and go out there and look for food and beautiful vistas. But the wagon train's kind of lumbering along with the oxen and the people and its slow-moving self. And that's kind of like the self as relates to the mind. But as the self begins to take over the control of the system away from the mind, then we become in a position to actually take command of our lives. Go figure.
I don't even get that one. What do you mean that our mind is marvelous? It just needs to relay the messages to ourselves and deal with the self in terms of how it operates.
And I, when, do, I agree it's a marvelous thing, but the problem is when the mind is the master rather than the heart and the self. That's the problem. When the mind runs the ship so that you're thinking, you think you've got it all figured out and you decide what's going to do and you're not letting that heart.
I would like to make a distinction.
A distinction. Wait, you've onto something here, girl.
Distinction. Okay. Now, we're talking about the mind, and we're talking about thinking. Now, thinking takes place in the mind, but the mind, your heart wouldn't even work without your mind. Body wouldn't work without your mind. Your mind is absolutely marvelous. It makes everything function. But the thinking part of our mind, which has distorted thoughts because of our upbringing, because of all sorts of things, that's a different thing. So when we speak about the mind, I want to give the mind a little bit of, well, not a little bit, a whole lot of appreciation, because I couldn't even talk without my mind.
We do appreciate the mind, but let me make a distinction here. And that would be that the mind thinks it knows what it's all about, the thinking mind. Maybe that's the distinction here.
Yes, our thoughts.
Especially when it tries to run the ship, as it were, our life, our body.
Put it this way, it tries to run our behavior. That's where it gets screwed up.
But it sometimes it doesn't run it enough. Like, do you know how many times and how many things I knocked over and dropped today? Where was the mind when I needed it to remind
Well, your
me?
Mind is a whole different sort of thing. We're talking about an exceptional mind. You're thinking about other things usually when you drop all these things and everything.
It's just kind of a karmic thing. Oh, my God. I don't know who that was, but it's so seldom that anyone calls me. I didn't think to turn off my phone. Please turn off your phones now while we are conveying this program to you.
Oh, God. You don't have to listen to him. He's got a cockeyed mind.
Well, that's a different thing altogether. When you have a cockeyed mind, it kind of comes in at an angle, which reminds me of a wonderful article I read many, many years ago, which very much influenced me. And I may have not even told you about it. It was called Tell It Slant. It was about telling things kind of obliquely rather than straight on, like metaphorically or through analogy, or as Yeshua did, through parables, because it engages more of the totality of us than when we just speak like I am now, which is straight through the subject predicate kind of language that we normally use to convey information.
I think that you're one of the people on this planet that usually speaks slantedly.
Go figure.
It's true, though.
But my body slants.
No, your body does not slant. You stand up pretty straight.
Oh, come on.
You're a straightforward guy.
I wonder if Professor Umbridge, if you might just jump in here to the conversation. Let's find out if you've done any figuring. What do you got with Go Figure?
Oh, good evening, of course. This is Professor Umbridge. I've been thinking about the onslaught of information that bombards everyone every day. So wonder anyone is able to get anything done. And to that I say, go figure. But lucky those who are able to turn off the onslaught. Not just the onslaught coming in through the media and all of the externals, but the onslaught of thoughts that totally can take over your consciousness here. As you were pointing out, Rochelle, it's a distinction between the thinking mind, which is busy, 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 always busy doing something and thinking something. Just this morning when I tried to get still, and I could get still for just a few seconds, and then off it goes, like your little scout on the horse, running off, looking for all kinds of distractions. And I have to use an enormous amount of will to bring it back into center. But when I do, oh my, my, what a delightful experience. Because in between the moments, if you will, in between like the raindrops, there is this magical place, and the place of pure awareness. It is absolutely delicious. Who would have thought that in the still is the richest experience that we could probably ever have? Go figure.
That's true, though. I've experienced it enough to know. Thank you for sharing that, Professor.
I'm always delighted to share with you both. Now, this is May, and Rochelle, I know this is a very special time for you, and I would like to take this opportunity to wish you a happy Grandmother's Day.
Oh, how sweet.
Yes, I know you're so excited about your little muffin of a grandchild, and it's so delightful. Can you imagine that this whole being capable of having personality and thoughts and consciousness and thinking all kinds of thoughts and feeling and making choices would start off as these two cells somewhere deep down in the middle of your uterus. And out of that little bit of coupling comes this extraordinary happening, which is being. And being seems to be just rampant all over this planet, running around.
It sure is. The most interesting thing, and I can't quite figure it out, which is good. I don't need to figure it out. I just need to know how it feels. There seems to be a difference between parenting and grandparenting. The difference for me is maybe it's as simple as I'm not responsible on a daily level for this, the ongoingness of this child. My sole occupation with her is to delight in her. And that's it. I delight in her. I don't reprimand. I don't move her here, there, or wherever. I mean, I'm careful to make sure that she doesn't get hurt in any way. But my delight in her has such a large dimension to it, where with my children, who I delighted in enormously, our children, I mean, there was no doubt about that. But we had to keep them in a certain way. We had to take care of them, and very astutely. It was not a small thing.
Make sure that when they got older and we were needing the help, they would give us lots of money and take care of our needs.
I never thought that, Errol, but right. You might have thought that.
Yeah, go figure. Of course not.
A moment of appreciation would be nice, but that's about it.
Well, that's the thing about raising children. Talk about a go figure. You have this being that you're totally involved with, I mean, and you're giving to them. One of the lines from, again, I quote from the Urantia book because it's filled with great things to quote. It talks about how being a child and coming aware as a child is just one of the most extraordinary things that we can have, to come into that innocent perception. Specifically, it talks about when you bestow love on someone, the more love you bestow on them, the more you tend to love them. And I've noticed that working here at Lupin. Not everyone here is easy to work with, myself included.
Cool. As you would,
you ask many of the people here. But you just keep bestowing your love. And I have found, been here 2.5 years, that I really do feel love and appreciation. That hasn't diminished or soured in any way as a result of living here and the familiarity I have and being aware of all our faults and inadequacies. And
foibles.
Foibles. You know, we had a family of foibles that came to the lodge here.
The foible family.
Yeah. Now, foibles, they have very small feet. So they kind of roll. They look like schmooze. They roll in. They have smaller feet than penguins. So imagine a penguin strutting with really tiny legs.
There is no such thing, everybody, as a foible family.
Why do you need to tell people
because
that?
Because it feels like I'm lying if they believe me.
Yeah, but it's not you talking.
But I don't want anyone to think you're lying either.
You really think Listener, let me ask you this. Be honest. Do you really think I was just lying?
A made-up thing is a lie. Can be a lie.
I'm going to come clean then. I made it sound like that. But there really was a foible family that waddled in here.
No way.
They wanted to use the pool, but we wouldn't let them because they insisted on keeping their foible attire on. And here you have to be naked to swim in the pool.
I'm not going to say another word. He wants you to believe that this is true. What do you have like when you put a disclaimer?
Disclaimer's good. First of all, let me say there's a big difference between trying to figure things out, figure out solutions, like we've been talking about climate destabilization and these other problems. That's where I think the mind usurps its position and thinks that it can figure out. Even the notion of figuring implies quantitative figures. But in order to get the solutions, I believe must be grown, can't be figured out. And I want to know what you think of this, you listener. For example, look at the forces and the energies and the inertia of energies that are contributing to the climate destabilization, pouring these toxic fumes, gases into the atmosphere, causing us to warm up, et cetera, and all the shifts that are going to happen. So what does it take to break that habit, especially when that system is working for people? It has to grow in the soil of need mixed with the fertilizer of demand. Out of that, something will grow that will have a capacity to better interact with the system on Earth, especially how we energize ourselves. That's really at the core of it. What's causing all this pollution? It's what we're using to energize ourselves, as in fossil fuel.
Actually, what we use to energize ourselves, and this is the greatest lie of all, is money. We believe money energizes us. Because I remember seeing this program about Tesla, who came to the money people, the capitalists, and said that the sun is the greatest source of energy and we could use it. How could you make money off it? It was their thing, and they dismissed him. That was a long time ago in terms of our present day, early 1900s. So that's 100 years we could have had clean energy. We didn't because money got in the way. And there's an energy source that can be useful, but it's also frighteningly corruptible. Go figures. We get into so many dilemmas and conundrums because somebody can't make money on it, so it's dismissed. But we saw that movie, The Big Short. The greed that runs us. Humans must feel very inadequate that they have to fill the pot all the time, that they're not enough. You use that phrase, if it's not enough, we never feel like we have enough. And we haven't gotten to the point where we're saying enough already.
The distinction I originally made, that the previous period, which is on its way out, the two watchwords were not enough. The emerging new epoch, the watchwords are enough already. I believe that, like Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump, as two extremes who are nevertheless both responding to enough already. They have different things maybe they're focused on and different ways of approaching it. But when the enough already reaches a critical point, that's when you set the stage for good or bad revolution.
I always think of certain people who go, enough of you already, now it's my turn. They don't make that great a difference, but there's somebody else at the helm. Enough of your navigation. I want to navigate. That doesn't always make change. I don't think revolution makes change, really. All it does is makes an apparent change, a superficial change. Unless we change within ourselves, human beings, nobody can come along and create change if we don't change. It's just ridiculous. It doesn't happen. So go figure that people try to do that all the time, like trying to change you.
Rochelle has successfully changed me.
I have not.
No, she has. Not necessarily by intent or conscious effort. She has changed me in ways that she may not even appreciate yet.
Mm.
But they're growing. Well, my capacity to appreciate Rochelle in spite of her behavior is just amazing. And it's because of her and that behavior that has gotten me to the place where my tolerance is just enormous. I can actually live that line. The more love you bestow on somebody, the more you come to love them. I'm thinking that could even apply to you, Rochelle. I mean, it's a fabulous.
Go figure it. Oh, you're in trouble, Errol.
I am in trouble. But real quick, while I'm in the middle of about to have trouble, Go Raw, Universe Spirit, these are our sponsors. We're grateful. They enable us to do Inside Out, The Naked Truth, which is what you are listening to. Go figure.
You might have thought you were listening to something else.
I want to ask our good friend Barney to kind of jump into this conversation here. Actually, you're a person coming from where you do and sort of what you sound like. I wouldn't necessarily think that you would come up with some of the things that you do. Go figure. Well, hi, this is Barney. I'm not sure that's a compliment or not a compliment. Let me get back to you on that. And I'll have my people contact your people.
Very good, Barney.
That's right. Well, I look at people and I see many things. I see these people with these good hearts. And then I see people with these big appetites. It's attributable to you can't fill up a hole with something that's incapable of filling up the hole. Keep in mind, the greed can be anything. It can be for food, it can be for ideas, it can be for power, for money, for this or with that. And I think I take that think back because I observe that I probably think too much. But aside from that, I see that people don't recognize how the contact with their fundamental nature, their source, the universe life, sometimes called the ever-present origin. I love that name there. First time I read that. The origin is ever-present, which means that it's constantly showing up new, fresh. And that's the point and the value of living out of this here now moment. While you can reference the past and sort of plan for the future, the actual living is done in the moment that you're in. Don't let the mind deceive you. You were always talking about the mind there, how it can take control. It can let you think that what it's thinking is it's having an experience. No, it's actually just thinking. Indeed, it is the experience of thinking, but it's not an experience. It has been written that it's not about the experience of feeling that we're learning to have, but it's to have the feeling of an experience. And it is the experience that we're having here that is being shared by the ever-present origin, sometimes a.k.a. God.
I think of the ever-present origin as our creativity itself. One line from the Bible that absolutely rings so true to me, that we're created in the image of God. But what is that? It's an imagelessness. But one thing I know about God, however you want to call it, it's creative. God is creative. It's created everything that's around us. What began it all, the seed that began everything, whether it was Big Bang, it created this, it created that. Something created something. It didn't just happen, or maybe it did. So then the just happen is the creativity. When we enter into the creative mind, that's the mind that isn't thinking and trying to figure things out. There's a stillness, and all of a sudden, something emerges from that stillness. You furiously are writing. In that moment, you are furiously painting or creating music or dancing with a person or just loving them. And in that creativity, that's, to me, is the ever-present origin.
Go figure. That you should come up with such a same thing that I was thinking, I love that.
Go figure is right.
That's like a miracle. A miracle is a go figure kind of thing.
It is.
When you think about a miracle, it's like then something happened that was really outside of your logical mind or your expectation, and yet it happened anyway. It's kind of like maybe Professor Schnitzel, he knows about this here. You can talk to him, too, about the, what do you call it, quantum mechanics. Yeah, quantum mechanics. Yeah, this is what they're able to find, is that there's a particle, well, it's here, and without going anywhere, it's over there. Well, this was a very strange thing. It's something happened in quantum mechanics, and I can't go into the details, but it's like a miracle how something that's like an electron that was on 4th Street and 5th Avenue, at the same time, all of a sudden, it's in 119th Street on 6th Avenue, and it never went there, but it's there at the same time. And the only way for that to happen would be if it's simultaneously in the present, which is non-time space. That's where the quantum mechanics and the spiritual theory of all existence happening simultaneously come together. Go figure.
Wow. Go figure.
That was sort of the kind of thing, Professor, I was thinking about here. I don't quite understand it, the way you put it, but what I get is that it's all happening simultaneously. Go figure.
I don't know that my mind, my thinking apparatus, can wrap itself around that at this point. It's not sophisticated enough. It doesn't know enough. But something about hearing it said resonates with me. Not in terms of thought, but in terms of truth. Go figure that one.
I would like to figure it, but I just can't figure it as well as I can create. And that's the distinction I tried to make earlier about creating versus trying to figure out the solution. When you create, you give birth to something, and then you nurture its development. And that's what I meant about growing.
And that is the origin of ever-present.
That's a function of pure imagination. And that's really an important thing to have.
It's imagination that creates all the things that we somehow take for granted, like the light that's cast on us as we're reading and writing right now. These machines that we're using, these computers, they all started in someone's mind, in the imagination of a human being. You know, I remember when I was a kid, remember the Dick Tracy comic strip where he had a watch that he could talk into? Well, we have it today. There it was. It was in someone's imagination. And then someone picked it up and actualized it, put it into the world so that we can use it if we want.
Speaking of actualize it, one of the notions I've had about how we could move things along evolutionary-wise and get wiser quicker, so we can tackle these problems with more awareness and understanding, etc., is to gather in groups and let's tell the story of the change that we want to see happen in our lives and in the world as if it were a story. In other words, we know where it ends up. So, for example, it ends up 15 years from now as zero carbon emissions. That's the story. And we're about to tell that story. The more we can imagine that story unfolding, the more likely it is to happen, because it will quicken our impulse to pursue those things that we discover in imagining how it might come about.
Go figure.
Is that a go figure?
Yeah, because go figure that we could do that. Human beings can do anything. We become complacent because there's a level of comfort that we all seem to run around in. You can eat, and then you can go. If you don't have those things, you can get depressed and you don't do anything. But there's also that place where people go more. That very thing that we call that can be toxic and bad, the greed, but the moreness of like, this isn't enough to just wander around and turn on your computer and, you know, and go to sleep at night and watch television or listen to or text or whatever. There's got to be more. There's got to be something that makes everything better.
That's why you have to have a climate destabilization every couple million years. This is not the first one. There were probably lots of times on planet Earth where the climate was very unstable and not a good time to have come and try to live here. Go figure.
Thousands and thousands of years ago, man was not creating to that problem.
From an evolutionary standpoint, it's quite amazing to see the potential there, because on one hand, he's created this mess, but the mess is such a bad mess that those who are paying attention...
Is that redundant, a bad mess?
Yes, there's good mess. In my world, there's good mess. And bad mess. But that's my world.
Go figure. So go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but it was very interesting that you said bad mess. Go ahead.
Then we are motivated to try and solve the mess. And in fact, every major shift in evolution, every sudden breakthrough, usually comes about because of the bad mess that was just before. And it precipitates a whole new way of being and behaving. Would you not agree, Rabbi Greenberg? Yeah, I would agree that it's a big mess. I'm not so sure how unmessy you can get so quickly. The fact that we need to have it move quickly and the fact that we're slow, that's definitely a good go figure, because it says that someone's sleeping at the wheel. Ah, so that should surprise us, because we're busy. We got things to do, places to go, pleasures to achieve, and pains to avoid. Until the pain is so in our faces that we wouldn't be able to see it right in front of us. You mark my words. Rochelle, you're lovely. You are such a lovely person, Rochelle. I love looking at you, darling. Till we get such a poke in the tuchus that makes us go, oh, yeah, can I better change or you're going to be in big trouble. Then we will stay complacent. That seems to be the nature of human being, in spite of the fact that inside of us is a perfect wisdom presence always available, and we could go connect with it anytime we want, but we're busy. Go figure.
As you were talking, I kept having this image, this is my imagination working, that the source of our imagination is something we can plug into. But it almost seems that it's a clean slate can plug into it, an innocent, something, someone that hasn't been corrupted by thoughts that take them away from the new and original. And that being will be birthed, not the answer but so much, but the awareness of what a human being can do when it moves beyond the problem and moves into what can later be seen as the solution.
One of the things that faith does is it basically says to us that that which we hope for is. But faith is like the sails on a boat. The wind is there, but unless you raise the sails, which is the faith, you can't take advantage of the wind moving you. But it's there, and faith is very much like that. It's an act of our will where we choose to expose our will to this breath of life that's moving all the time through us, that's beyond the mind, like the atmosphere, like the wind. And as we say, I will act as if there is this supportive breath of life that is continually breathing me and beating my heart in spite of all my conscious efforts to affect that, to trust that movement and activity, that it will persist in the perpetuating of the identity that I am, so that I can relax and I don't have to greedify, gather to myself things that can't ever provide that, which is the ongoingness of my personal presence. And therein is the key to the transformation in the sense of how spirituality can transform how we are and what we think and do.
A very telling definition of spiritual awareness. I also think that on a very secular level, one can just see that our very creative mind can move beyond our thinking mind. And that creative mind can look at our thoughts and go, oh, you got nice thoughts. That's okay. Well, can you just still your thoughts for a second? And I'm going to take you someplace that you can't even possibly understand or imagine. And you can own it. And then you drop into that place. And it's like all of a sudden you're on a ride that you couldn't even think of before. So often in our lives, we have been places and then we leave those places and we're someplace that we never thought that we could be. And we're in a totally different atmosphere and we're totally different people and we're changed, even though it's not always very perceptible, but we are changed and we're growing as a result of it. But we couldn't have imagined it in a way, even though our imagination is so fertile and delicious. There are places that it didn't go because it couldn't see it. It was beyond our ken.
How many of you out there have a ken? Have you ever thought of getting beyond your ken? Just to make sure we're clear here, is different than kin. I know many of us think of getting beyond our kin, especially if our forebears who have been forbearing of us, but we're not as forbearing of our forebears as they are at being forbearing of us, because we look at our forebears and we see how they have got us into these predicaments. And sometimes we forget that the predicaments are there to stimulate that creativity that you were talking about. And so we have to pay attention to them and be mindful and equally, if not more so, be heartful. In other words, wholehearted in our approach to life and trust our heart more.
I always find that interesting that we talk about heart, you know, trust our hearts, listen to our hearts. I listen to my heart, it goes boom, 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 boom. So it's a metaphor. What is the heart? To listen to the heart, it's a feeling beyond physical, is what I think. It's a feeling that rises above the physical. It's a feeling that lives in an atmosphere of juiciness and love. To me, that's what a heart is. Trust my heart. What I'm really saying is I'm listening to the love within me.
Here's another way of looking at it. To me, the heart...
You don't like the way I looked at it?
Wait a minute. What happened was, what you said was so stimulating that I wanted to jump into this next thought. But I'll stop.
No, no, go right ahead. I thought of the sun.
The heart is always a place of unity. And that's how I think we come to know it. Teilhard de Chardin says, the soul is synthesis, or the heart is synthesis. So it's wherever synthesis is taking place, wherever essences or energies or beings or things are converging and interpenetrating, that's where we can find the heart. The heart won't be found in any thought or perception that comes from a position that we're not integrating, that we are separate and we are firmly separate. That's one of the big distinctions and ways to know that you're coming from the heart. One instance, you're separate and continuing to be separate, perpetuating duality, whereas the heart is always about synthesis. And of course, the ultimate synthesis is the will, the fundamental drive and intent of our own personal being with that fundamental drive and intent of the infinite loving source, evolutionary guide of all being. That unity is the key. Go for the unity. Do not pass ego separation. Go directly for unity. And from unity, approach your problems. Yerenshaba calls it worshipful problem solving. And they define worship as a spontaneous outburst of God consciousness.
Oh, that's fun. When you say things like go for the unity, to get there has to do with where I am. It's got to be okay where I am. The minute I have no resistance to where I am, I'm in a state of unity. And then I can move. The reason we don't do that is we think that if we come into union with what we are now judging to be not okay, we'll be not okay forever. But the minute I come into unity with whatever is, I go past it. I can move. I'm not stuck anymore. I'm not stagnant. That's the secret. Come into unity. It's not just to say it, but to actually do it means that I cannot resist where I am.
Oh, sure, this is Father O'Malley there. I think you're right on the mark there, darling Rochelle. You don't resist where you are. And I guess that's what you're trying to say there, maybe, Errol, but as I listen to you talk there, it's kind of like the male version, go for it, you know, like reaching out, erecting, and pushing forth your maleness. And then you have this female side here, which is saying you just allow what's happening to be what it is. And then when the two of you get together, oh my there, we get fireworks and explosions and outburst of semen, actually, there.
Oh, Father O'Malley.
Well, I'd like people to know that I'm not unaware of these aspects of people's expression. One of the reasons why the Catholic Church got into trouble all these years, I think it would have made a big difference if they had not put this celibacy requirement on them. I have to say so myself. As a good friend of mine said, Matthew Fox, a priest, someone asked him, Father Fox, what's with the celibacy thing? And his answer was, well, it's kind of like being all dressed up with no place to go.
Yeah. I hope you're okay, Matthew Fox, because I really love you a whole lot.
Thank you, Father O'Malley. It's good to be part of this. I understand there that you've got these souls that are kind of going along in not a very conscious way. And so there's an element of tolerance in Go Figure, where you're not pushing the river, as they say. And you just go, well, okay, there, you know, they're doing what they need to do as best as they can. And those that are a little more impatient, well, maybe we can help them out and give them some direction.
I know that so many people are so afraid that if they're not active, they will cease to be. Because they don't really know what to do at any given moment in time, they'll do anything. As long as they're active, moving here, there, everywhere, it's a way of controlling themselves. Because if they stop being active, they won't know who they are. How do I know myself? I have to be doing. You and I talk about the human doer and the human being.
I'm imagining someone who's busy doing, and then they stop and they look around and they don't know what's going on because it's still and it's scary. The stillness. Who am I in the stillness? Only the stillness knows.
When I was a child, I loved listening to The Shadow on the radio.
Wasn't it Lamont Cranston?
Lamont Cranston. That was his name. He became a shadow, wasn't he?
Was he related to Bryan Cranston?
No, I don't think so. But you can ask Bryan himself.
That could be. He could be his great-great uncle.
I don't think so. In my time, which is a long time ago, radio fed the imagination, unlike television, because you only heard a voice. And you could imagine what it looked like, and you could imagine the things that were happening through sound. Sound opened a door to your imagination. It's a little harder to go through imagination when you're given pictures and you see everything. So you have another sense that's taking over. I grew up with a much more imaginative world than people who grew up today.
So let's use our imagination. Imagine just for a moment that at some time in the next 24 hours, you decide to go to, well, let's say, Whole Food or Costco, organic section, Trader Joe's, even Safeway, and you're going to look at the Go Raw products, and you're going to get the munchies so big in that moment that you are going to have to take some of that home with you. And happy, Go Figure. Not only are you going to have this great flavor, munchy, satisfying experience, but you are going to nutritionize your body.
Nutritionize, that's an interesting word. And if you go to Job One for Humanity, you may nutritionize your ability to understand and do something about climate destabilization.
So we're all for nutritionizing here, in case you hadn't noticed. And this is Inside Out, the Naked Truth. Then you can reach us. Go to our website, thelaughingheart.org. We've got 15 videos up. Many of them were almost naked, but you may want to avoid those.
God.
No, we're naked here, though, at our clothing optional environment. And I'll have to tell you, as someone who appreciates that, it's really great to have your whole body exposed to the atmosphere on a regular basis. It's quite delicious. I believe my body goes yay. That's why I choose to live here. I like having my body go yay. And my soul goes amen.
So he's together, a yay sayer.
And my body is a yay sayer. That's good. So for all you naysayers out there who might scorn our suggestion that we can use our imagination, that we can begin to tell the story of our transformation, that we can access that which is fundamental to all life and get on it like a ride, like riding the worm in Dune. If you remember that, if you haven't read it, read it, because it's a perfect metaphor for what we're talking about. That we can participate consciously in the movement of evolution, which is to ever greater liberation, constantly interfacing with ever greater harmony, and out of that dance of coming together, moving apart, is this exquisite phenomenon that's called life. And from the point of view of life, it is what science sees. It is what religion understands at its true level. It is life. And for that, we're very grateful. So we're going to be back next Tuesday, and who knows what our topic will be. Tonight it has been, go figure, Rochelle and I exploring something that we can't understand. Go figure.
Go figure, that which I don't understand pretty much of everything.
It really is that. So as we get close to our time, I do have a question for you, Rochelle, and that is, what do we need to keep figuring about, or at least remember?
Remember that resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
Go figure.